Dreamtown, written by David Baldacci, read by Eduardo Ballerini and Brittany Presley. To Tiffany and Bruno Silva and the Landing Love Project for helping so many in need. Chapter 1. It was New Year's Eve, 1952. Aloysius Archer was 30 years old, once a decorated soldier and next a humbled inmate. He was currently a private detective, with several years of intense experience trolling the darker side of life. He was riding in a 1939 blood-red Delahaye convertible, with the red top in the down position, because that was how he liked it. He had bought the car a little over 3 years before with lucky gambling winnings in Reno. It had also very nearly cost Archer his life. He still loved the car. Any man with a pulse would. And so would any woman who liked a man with a nice car. He was currently heaving over the roller coaster humps of Los Angeles. The city was decked out in its finest livery for the coming of the new year. That meant the bums of Skid Row had been goose-stepped off the streets by junior coppers who did what they were told. The hookers had been ordered not to solicit on the main thoroughfares, and most everyone had put the lids on their trash cans and brushed their teeth. The town had brought in about 4 million strings of lights, an equal number of balloons, and enough confetti to choke the Pacific. And every actor and actress with a studio contract, and even some without, would be showing their toothy mugs in all the right and wrong places. While the town definitely had its seamy side, the City of Angels had all the tools and incentive to do showy and shallow better than any other place on earth. It could be a wonderful place to live if you had money, were famous, or both, which Archer didn't and wasn't. Over the years, he'd worked a slew of tough cases, and had come to know the town and its denizens maybe better than he would have liked. It was a town that took every single dream you had, and then merrily ran it right through the world's biggest meat grinder. And when the famous were famous no more, the meat grinder treatment was even worse, because those people had tasted what life could be like if enough ink was spilled on you, and sufficient butts sat in seats to watch you emote. When that ride was over, it was like being dropped from the top of the Empire State Building to land in a squatter's shack in Alabama. Los Angeles had 2 million souls, sprawled over nearly 500 square miles. Some people were crammed into slums, tract housing, and shadily built tenement death traps, like staples in a stapler, while the wealthy and famous had room to both flex and hide. All this in a city founded on the remnants of a village settled by the Tongva, an indigenous Indian tribe who called it Yaanga, which translated to Poison Oak Place. Well, they got that right, thought Archer. But for a private eye, L.A. could be a fascinating study of human beings and all their many foibles. He turned left and then right as he moved from dirty L.A. to rich L.A., and then to dirty and rich L.A. He passed a prowler car and saw two of the LAPD's finest sitting inside and sipping on coffee in vending machine cups. They stared at Archer as he passed, probably wondering whether he'd stolen the car or was delivering it to some Hollywood mogul or a desert sheik who'd bought a piece of the city's myth along with a fancy ride. Archer eyed the prowler in his mirror, hoping it would stay right where it was. To his mind, the LAPD was one of the largest criminal enterprises in the world. And they did it with a smile and a gun where appropriate, or with beatings that didn't show. Archer had had a police baton or two land on his head, and he'd also spent time in the tank on bogus charges merely for asking questions deemed impertinent, meaning ones directed at finding the truth. Because the truth often found LAPD badges mixed in with the other crooks. These coppers were probably taking a coffee break before heading to a string of ghetto street corners with their dozen-block-deep slums in the rear to make their quota of busted heads for the week, like the good little foot soldiers they were. They were just one crew in a pitched battle for the soul of the city, and there was no doubt in Archer's mind which faction was winning. If L.A. were a human body, the criminal elements were the capillaries. Small, everywhere, not often seen, but absolutely vital to overall life. His destination was Universal Studios. He only knew one person there, but it was an important person, at least to him.